Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Hourglass of Isabella. I'm here with the love of my life, co-host and dearest friend in all the world, Michael Corvus.
It's a pleasure to be here.
How are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm good. I'm just capital.
What have we been doing tonight, anyway? What's been going on?
Cooking chili and cornbread.
We're in our kitchen, and we're cooking chili, which I'm very excited to try. We've just got it kind of slow cooking right now, simmering. But I'll tell you something, not only does it look good, it smells really good too.
It's intoxicating.
Really. It's intoxicating. I'm really thrilled about the concept of trying this chili. It's been on my mind all night. And tomorrow, we're going to do a bit of a chili cook-off, and I'm going to do a chicken one.
Okay. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
So, greatly.
Tonight,
your cooking is amazing.
We're going a bit forwards in time while going backwards in time, which is hard to explain. But I did a podcast yesterday. We recorded with Alan Greenfield, which will be going up in the future. This one's actually going up first. And this is a preliminary, like this is the pre-podcast to discuss, because we're getting into these more esoteric occult topics. This is going to be really getting to the nitty-gritty about synchronicities, especially of you and I, Michael, and our personal experience of that, and our kind of our magical journey that we're kind of going through right now, and how it's like an exciting new phase in our lives.
Yeah, this is going to be a fun chat.
So I asked Alan this, and I'm going to ask this to you now as well in the same way, because I always think it's interesting to get different people's opinions. What do you personally think a synchronicity is, and how would you define that?
Well, for me, a synchronicity would be something beyond just random coincidence. Anyone can connect any two dots if they try hard enough or they have a squiggly enough line. But there are some things which are so on the nose and, so profound that you just can't really chalk it up to coincidence. And, that opens the door for a lot of questions.
And interesting follow-ups.
Yeah.
It's like, this is funny because this actually, you want to hear a really good coincidence. Not coincidence, a synchronicity, because similar, but not to be mistaken, because the synchronicity is more of a message from the universe. But I just had this classic, in fact, I have some videos online where I discuss it years ago. An example I always gave was, an example of a synchronicity could be you had a partner and they loved angels, or they had an affinity for birds, or, birds with beautiful white plumage or something, and they pass away, and one day you're thinking about them and you're walking down the driveway, and there in front of you falls a white feather slowly to the ground. That was always my number one example of, like, what is a synchronicity? And in that moment, it's not just a coincidence. It's kind of this message from the universe to be like, hey, I'm still here, and I'm looking out for you. And it's like that validation that you're going mad. It's like this beautiful thing that relates in an intricate woven web of the universe. And so that was like the example, right? And today, while we're talking about synchronicities, after filming the podcast about synchronicities, I'm in the kitchen and I look down on the ground and there is
a white feather.
It's a white feather. I couldn't believe it.
Not a red one, not a green one, but a white one.
Right. And I go down, I pick it up, I'm like, well, that's a beautiful, that is the prime, there it is, the prime example of a synchronicity unto itself. I guess my next question to you is in this line of the beauty of these things. Now that you know, because the deal is once you know about synchronicities, they appear to you more and more. Before, you might not even pick up on it. You might be like, well, that's a coinkydink, and then you kind of move along with your life. But the more you become aware of synchronicities,
like sensitive to them.
Yeah, sensitive to them. It's why I highly suggest Robert Anton Wilson's book. Mm. He has the Secrets of the Illuminati series, but he really covers the true depths of the beauty of synchronicity. The more you become aware of it, you just get into this almost like a rabbit hole, like the Alice in Wonderland, you fall down this rabbit hole, and it just keeps expanding. So in your personal experience, like, have you experienced synchronicity in your life?
Well, yeah, I have. It's one of those things that kind of begs the question. So if you go out and you buy a red car, and then you all of a sudden you start noticing all the red cars on the road. Well, are there more red cars on the road now, or are you just aware of them now?
Aware of it, right.
Okay,
right.
So are you just paying more attention to it?
Part of the deal, is paying more attention to the universe.
Right, and then, you know, you become kind of sensitive to, you know, what's trying to speak to you. And on the other side of the equation, something that I debate, struggle with, whatever you want to call it, there's something so... It's like if you ever wake up and try and tell somebody about a dream you had and that was so profound to you that there was something that had some such significant meaning
such
to
meaning.
You. Right, exactly. And then as you're explaining it, and it's like, you know, yeah, there's a bird and there's a can of cream corn, and like that meant you sound like a psycho.
You sound like an idiot.
Right,
you know.
And people are like, yeah, great, I'm listening.
But
you tell
to
me
you,
this unconnected bit of mishmash from
to
your
you,
brain.
It's meaningful, though.
Right.
It's the concept.
So where is the
where do we
meaning?
Draw the line?
It's the personal connection, and it's that kind of personal connection that you have with whatever the impetus was for you to feel this or feel that it was a synchronicity, that is almost, it is a very personal thing, so.
It is very personal. And we were talking, so with Alan Greenfield, I had no idea who he was up until a few days ago, and he was on a TV show called Hellier, which our friend Gunnar, who's also in this podcast that you'll listen to next coming up, you know, he is in the occult, and he does a lot of philemic art, which is amazing. And he was talking about synchronicity within that podcast. He was like, you've got to watch this TV show before you even do this podcast, so you can understand more about Alan, because he actually is in this TV show in that coincidental way, and you need to watch it because it discussed a lot about this and that. But he didn't ever mention synchronicity, was the irony of the whole thing.
Yeah.
So I pull up this TV show, and immediately in the first episode, the first sentence of the first episode, they're like, what is synchronicity? And they're discussing that as a whole theme of thread to tie in their two seasons. And it's a great TV show.
Yeah, it's kind of like a framework that they build upon.
And it's well worth checking out. But what I want, and this is a laugh, this is going to be a good laugh for us, because, you know, as we said, we both knew, you knew some of the people in the TV show,
and I
knew some of them as well, independently. Mm-hmm. Like, it was, again...
And they're doing things that are, like, about an hour away from us.
I mean, there wasn't a single person in this TV show, but between us as a group, we didn't each individually know. And you might be like, well, it's, you know, the paranormal community, and small, tight-knit community, but I'm not, despite...
I'm not in the paranormal community.
Well, despite, you know, in my case, despite having been on, like, ghost adventures and paranormal TV shows, I'm not particularly deeply involved in that community anyway. I just knew about it through, like, Aidan Sinclair's wedding, because, mm-hmm. you know, Carl had been nudging photography, because he's amazing at that, and Greg had added me on Facebook, so there was that connection there, and you knew the chap from
Micah, that they came down.
Micah, radio station.
Right, we used to work together in, when I was in radio moons ago.
And so, we go a little bit more into that. In the next podcast, we kind of delve a little bit more into that, but it was like the fact it was about synchronicity, and I wrote to Greg and I said, well, you have a laugh, because we're doing this podcast about synchronicity. And here was the real laugh that you and I are going to have here, Michael, because we're watching this TV show. And the first season, FYI, if you watch it, if you're into ghost hunting and paranormal, you'll love it. Because it's much more, I mean, it delves into a lot of, like, alien stuff, too, and UFOs. But there's a lot of more of that paranormal investigation vibe in the first one. And then the second one, which is what Gunnar likes better, the second season, because it delves into the esoteric occult factor, which is really cool. And there's a bit of cryptid. In fact, in the first one, there's cryptid. So if you like your Bigfoot stuff, there's a bit of that in. So it touches on a bit of everything. And there's a lot of Wicca and witch magic. Like, his wife is a hedge witch, so they touch on that within the second season, which I like as well. And they talk about the fae and the fairies. So it covers a bit of everything. It's like a lot of TV shows, you get like a paranormal thing, and it's like, well, this is just ghost hunting, and this is what we're interested in, so that's what we're doing. This is like a pick and mix, if you will, of every different thing that you could like, bring it all together in one big soup and cooking it up in a paranormal way. It's the best way that I can put it.
That's a great description.
Here's the fun part for you and I to discuss, is that the bloody balloons, and forgive me for swearing on that, although we do swear on this podcast, the balloons. And I talked about this to Alan because he kept going on about the balloons as well. And it was a strange thing because you wouldn't think a balloon, it's kind of like a silly thing, right? It wouldn't be a thing, but it became this big focal point of synchronicity. Because remember I discussed the feather falling
right.
down?
Yeah.
They kept finding these balloons, and as you point out, I'm gonna do this, you have a happy birthday balloon, you in the background were like,
it's my birthday.
It's my birthday, happy birthday. And, go, and it, sure enough, the balloon said, happy birthday. You couldn't even see the TV screen, and the balloon said, happy birthday. And Alan was like, you guys should focus on that. And then sure enough, he's like, you'll have an obstacle. And there's this tree in the way of the road. And then sure enough, behind it is a blue balloon. But what I thought was fascinating, because we both had a bit of a laugh about it, is at what point does it become where we're over-focusing and we're like, anything becomes a synchronicity. Like I said, how many red cars in a road? So suddenly right. anything, it's a balloon. And that's so, where you
so
have to differentiate.
So how do you jump in and have like discernment about what is a synchronicity?
Here's how you do it.
Yeah.
Like you said before, which was on point, it's personal connection to you. So like if anybody else just finds a balloon in the woods, it's kind of like whatever, you and I could probably go out and do that right now and it would still be a synchronicity, I might add. But prior to knowing this information, it would not. The fact that they were going through on this journey and something blocked a road, forced them to get out of the car, physically go and find this random balloon there, that's like, at what point does it become like happenstance, right? Coincidence. What point is it so much that you know someone else said, you need to watch out for balloons, take that seriously. That's a message from the universe. And then balloons keep showing up everywhere. And everyone's like, this is crazy. How is this a thing?
So, okay, so let me ask you this, and I know maybe I'm going off topic here a little bit, but to the extent that synchronicities affect the direction or the trajectory of your life...
Yes, they do.
Okay, so...
They can change your whole life.
Okay, so here's the way I would probably posit this. The difference between... We can always go back. Like, I can sit there and realize... I can call back from my own history of saying, you know, I ran into somebody I knew. I had a 5-minute conversation with them in a mall once upon a time. And because I spoke with them for 5 minutes,
it changed
that allowed me to meet this other person. Which,
it's very Avengers Endgame.
Right.
Like
well,
changing
be,
of timeline.
Yeah,
or Loki, as it were.
Right. Yeah. Because I had that 5-minute conversation, because I just randomly ran into this person, I was on my way out, because I randomly ran into this person. That would facilitate the meeting of somebody else that would
and
be a big part of my life for like, you know,
life.
10 years. Okay,
yes.
So how many times are those near misses? Okay,
it's infinite.
And once you're, you know, 10 years down the road, 15 years down the road, whatever, you can go back, you can look at, wow, man, geez, you know,
this was
if,
the point.
If I had never gone into this shop, I would have never met this person.
This person.
If I had never turned left when I should have turned right. I mean, like, you know, my son is alive because I was driving home and then I just was on autopilot and then went over to Denny's to hang out with some friends after I'd already told them I wasn't going to go
and
home.
And now your son exists in the world, which
right,
is
exactly. So we can always do that in post and go back and figure out.
What
okay,
happened.
So, right,
yes.
Yeah, we can tease that apart.
You can use that past knowledge to influence your future knowledge, to pay more attention to the universe, to know. That doesn't mean you're going to know the outcome, but what you can do is pay more attention to the universe and say, okay, this is trying to tell me something, what is it? Sometimes it's benign, and nothing
yeah.
much to it.
Sometimes it's benign, sometimes
other times it's life altering.
Yeah, well, I mean, absolutely.
So let's,
I would say synchronicities... Being sensitive to synchronicities would be able to recognize that in real time as it's happening.
As happening, which is why I think
as
it's valuable.
Happening, not like going back and
yes,
reviewing
back
in posts.
Post.
It's like, oh, geez, you know, like, man, if I had never done this, or that, I
would
have never been here.
So here's the example. On the Helio TV show, when they find the balloon on the side of the road and the tree is blocking their way, they become aware in that moment... That is a synchronicity is putting on a path. They're not actively looking in the past and saying, well, that was weird. In the moment, they're like, Jesus Christ, there's a balloon on there, and this means something in this particular moment, and the path is blocked, and that means something that's telling us whether it's the wrong path in that instance, because the tree is also blocking it. I think they shouldn't have moved the tree, but it's telling them, don't go down this path, actually. Right? And that's the deal. In fact, they talked about earlier in the show, they were talking about ash something, and they went to, where did they go?
Ash Asheboro,
somewhere else. Not Asheville, which is where we are. And I was like, guys, you're not seeing the synchronicity. How could they? The synchronicity was that it was Asheville. And as Gunnar said, our friend said, you know, we've got the Moog synthesizer museum here, mm-hmm. right? And they're out in the woods listening to all these beep sounds, like it's synthesizer sounds. And the Moog museum is here in town. We know the people mm-hmm. who work there. And then likewise, it's like she was like, can you make some noise? Make noise. Likewise, make noise exists here in Asheville. So all these little tidbits that you wouldn't otherwise think were a synchronicity. They actually add up and they can absolutely change your life. So one of the most potent things, and as I said, it's a bit of a rabbit hole. Once you become aware of it, it is. Can
well,
be
it's,
dark.
It's like conspiracy theories. And you know, just because something is... I'm not much of a conspiracy theorist, but there are some things you can definitely go down that rabbit hole with. You know, you get lost in it.
I read Robert Anton Wilson's book, and it was like literally falling down a rabbit hole. And the more you read it, the more disturbed you were, but also heightened in your intuition to understand that perhaps there was some truth to it. And it's like once you start to observe the universe, you become aware of the glitches within it, the glitches in the matrix.
Glitches in the matrix.
And little quirks here and there. And maybe that's a good thing. Maybe it's not.
And then you have to be cognizant of confirmation bias. You know, sometimes if you put yourself on a mental path where it's like, okay, this, you know, sometimes you're just going to be looking for things that are going to corroborate, you know, what you already feel or believe. So I guess what I'm trying to say is like the superimpose this knowledge of this can affect that can affect this, along with whatever path you're on, and you have to be very cognizant not to just seek out things that are going to corroborate your own feelings on
yes.
the thing, you know? And then,
yes.
and on the other hand, you know, you could be so insensitive to where, you know, somebody can drop a hammer on your head and you don't
yes.
notice it. So somewhere between the two extremes.
Lies the truth.
The lie is the truth in most every facet of
that's
of,
good
of
advice
everything.
For anything, to be honest.
Right.
Independent of our synchronicity topic, that's fantastic advice,
yeah.
Michael.
Yeah, I mean, you could... Yeah. You gotta know...
Can we delve into our story? You know, the one which covers this a bit, because we talk about not just synchronicity, but paths converging and things changing. And this is, I think it is a very potent topic because of the Marvel universe right now and how they are delving into this beauty of parallel universes
yeah.
and different timelines. And the fact that in one, and this is actually at this point, a very feasible, realistic, scientific thing that we could be experiencing simultaneously different paths in life. And maybe today you walked down the stairs, fell down and cracked your neck open, right? That's
mm-hmm.
one option. Or you went down the street and fell in love with someone else. And all of these things are real outcomes, and you are experiencing all of them in different, like a tree with roots. All of them at the same time.
Right, yeah. I mean,
and
they
display it beautifully in the show.
Yeah, they do.
The timelines, in an accessible way.
Yes. I mean, you know, there are far more learned men and women that can speak on, like, quantum mechanics than I can. But, yeah, it's a solid foundational theory that, you know, for every observable action, there's every possible reality
yes.
branches off
it's like
from
the You know, do you know about the Schrodinger's cat?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Yeah, the box. Is it alive? Well, the answer is it's both.
Yeah.
Simultaneously. It's alive and until you observe it. And then
yeah.
you know the outcome. And that's real science. This isn't occult, random, hoodoo, voodoo nonsense in the background. You know, it's the concept of... And, you know, not safe, to be fair. I mean... I will level with you. I do believe in magic. I do believe in voodoo. All of those things are, to me, in my perception, because it's about...
It's a focusing of will.
It's focusing of will, which is great for the Crowley concept. I completely agree with that. But it's more of a general public perception of that's nonsense, right? That's what they say. That's hoodoo. You know, that's the stigma they put on it. And even with witches and stuff, I love that in America today, we have such a focus now on the witches and their culture. Now, it's become... it's risen as a religion more than anything else in the United States. Did you know that?
I do, yeah.
Yeah. So with all of that in mind, you and I have a story where kind of things split on a path.
That story.
Would you be comfortable talking about it?
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Yeah. Okay. So, and we'll do it loosely. We're not going to go too much into depth here.
Not too many details.
Right, exactly.
Because it's that relaying the dream, you know? It had meaning to me, it had meaning to you, but, you know.
Right, so early on, well, let's go back. How many years ago did we meet now?
4 years
ago. Mm-hmm. So 4 years ago, we met and we were in New Orleans.
Yes.
At the time. That's a fact. This is like the scientific, historical, accurate relaying of a story. It was in New Orleans at this time. And I had a very specific memory of how I met you. In fact, to the point, I know this because we went back and we checked the facts. We went back through our messages from 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We spent hours doing the research to figure this out. And I'd messaged you and I said, hey, you know, I really enjoyed hanging out with you in New Orleans, and I would love to see you guys again.
You specifically said I enjoyed meeting you at the mansion.
At the mansion, right. At the place that we, at the time, were staying. I enjoyed meeting you there. Exactly. And I would love to, you know, you did end up coming back and staying with us for next year. Mm-hmm. Because I don't randomly just reach out to people like, hey, you want to stay here? It's about vetting people, knowing, trying to trust people in that process, which is a difficult process. So in that moment in time, it's like I felt strongly that we
I'd already been there.
I just knew. I had the memory. In fact, I remember meeting you. You came into the mansion and you were standing by the refrigerator and you were wearing black sclera contacts, which are the contacts that cover your whole eye.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I remember, because they're hard to miss, actually. I think you're the only person I've actually seen wearing them ever, truth be told. And you were wearing, in this particular memory, you were wearing the horns, much like in the portrait, the painting I have of you.
Right.
And you're a Capricorn. So you're wearing these horns, and you have these black sclera contacts. And that's a great memory. It was a positive memory, fun memory. And I met you and your partner at the time. It was a lovely memory. Now, rolling back, this is where the story gets weird. Rolling back, what is your memory in a rendition of the events that took place here?
Well, I mean, you could probably roll back a little bit further that I would have never, neither I nor Gray would have been in New Orleans at all.
Oh, this is great. This is relates into the Fae.
Right, yeah. So Gray was on an adventure out
and
someplace.
And Gray was Michael's partner.
Yes.
To clarify.
Yes, yeah. Who is no longer with us. But yeah, Gray and I were relatively new, and we went on some adventures. And
you went on adventures together.
Yeah, we traveled around a lot.
You went on all sorts of adventures.
We did. They went on a solo mission to one of their retreats, and when they came back, they said, "You know what? I met someone."
This was in the forest, right?
This was in the forest. This was, you know, a big gathering of a lot of people in the forest, and they met this. Person that came out of the woods.
Strange creature.
I mean, it was
human being. Yeah.
Very human, but like, you know, it's like you're at one of these things, you're going to run across these people like, you know, several times in the course of like, you know, 4 or 5 days out there. But they only saw them the one time.
So this is strange.
When they came out, I think they might have shared a cigarette together. This person, this entity, this femme, whatever, you know, said, you know where you need to go? You need to go to New Orleans and you need to go to this event.
Specifically.
Yeah, you're going to have a great time. It's like, oh, you know, I think the conversation was like, yeah, my partner and I are wanting to look for new things to go out on an adventure on.
Me too, yeah.
And so Gray came back and said, we have to go to this event. Well, and we did. We had a great time. That's where I met you.
Because I was working that event at that time in New Orleans.
We met briefly. I think we shook hands. I mean, you certainly caught my eye more, you know, which is the mildest way.
Right, but
this
is the weird part, because I don't remember at the time this part of the story.
Yeah.
Because I was on stage, because I was working or something.
Yeah, you were a little checked out or whatnot. So we had met, and then you know, we were in like more of a kind of a private setting on like one of the later nights there.
Right. Which was, it's a lovely space, the Foundation Room. Yeah. Lovely space in New Orleans. Like,
we didn't talk much, you know, but we were there.
We hadn't had a conversation. It's the whole point of this
Christmas. We were sharing space.
Right, I was hosting, you were there enjoying the event, and we stumbled into the same, your memories, we stumbled in the same room together.
Right, absolutely. Next day, I am walking on this, Gray and I are both walking on the street, we run into somebody else we met at the event, they said, hey, are you going to the mansion tonight?
Because they were staying with us, that
right,
was staying
absolutely.
With us,
And, you know, this is ordinarily where I would say, it's like, yeah, totally I'm going to go to this cool party that I have never heard of before, that I'm totally invited to. What was the address again? But I didn't. I said, actually, I haven't heard of this yet. And so I was told, it's like, oh my God, well, if you weren't invited, I can't invite you, but maybe
that's
next
what,
year,
that's what
right?
she said to you. If you that's weren't invited,
absolutely.
I can't invite you.
So this is where it gets muddy because you have a specific memory of me being there.
Right, that night.
And I have a memory of me never going there.
To that event.
Right.
Likewise, I had no memory prior of meeting you at the other event. So I think this is where it's a divergent, where it's some version of reality in which I, obviously, because I have a memory. In fact, that I wrote to you, it wasn't like I randomly remembered this a year later. And said,
yeah, no, this was like days after.
Days after. I was like, it's so nice to meet you at the mansion. So in some memory of that night, you ended up going to the mansion. We met there at that time. That's a fact.
Yeah, I mean, and I didn't review it in messages because, like, I mean, this was my first year in New Orleans. And I thought, okay, the mansion is probably what they call such and such room or such and such place or you know the overall community or
and
whatever.
It took years before you told me, hey, do you actually know what happened that night? And you told me your version of the story, and I was just like, whoa, that's the point where we actually had to do the research.
Because,
and
figure
out what was
going on. You could have knocked me over with a feather when I got an invitation from you. You know, to come.
But I actually don't just randomly send invitations to people as a strange party.
Yeah, you're like, hey, the rooms are up. You and Gray should consider getting one this year. You know,
and so I remember meeting both you and Gray in that rendition, which is so strange. So I do think both are real memories of things that took place.
Well, the veil is thin.
The veil is very thin in New Orleans, and it does bring back to that beauty of split paths and planets, and maybe I've thought about this a lot, and a good friend of ours who was staying with us recently, she said a very similar thing. But you know what? Pandemic has obviously been really hard.
Clearly.
And it is, we are living, in fact, we are all right now, if you're listening, we're living in a very scary universe in which all the kind of bad things are happening, whether it's politically, right?
Or politically, socially,
politically,
physically, psychologically,
religiously, all these things. And health wise, all of that physically, like you said, all of these terrible things are happening simultaneously, and we're trying to make the best of it. There's a lot of people who are very hurt and angry out there in the world, and they're lashing out trying to figure out what is going on, and it's a difficult environment to be in. Do I think there are other realities, sincerely, scientifically, that are going on where the pandemic didn't happen? Absolutely, I believe that. Do I think we'd rather be in that universe? Yes, but here's the crux of it. Yesterday I thought about it. I thought with everything that's happened and how terrible the last several months have been, or last several years now at this juncture, I thought, is it, at least in my personal experience of my particular reality, worth it for all of the hardships, for growth and learning and advancement? Yes, it's hard, but it's necessary. And I think because I met you in this particular version, because I think there are multiple universes where you and I are not together, that is more likely, all things considered.
Yeah.
Seriously.
That's the most likely version of all different things.
Yes. And am I glad that we are here, you and I, right now?
Oh, I'm very glad.
I'm eternally grateful to it. And at that point, in the most, you want to know the most beautiful synchronicity of the evening?
What's that, darling?
What time is it on our podcast?
29, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16.
So our podcast is 30 minutes long. So I didn't look at it the whole time. I didn't time it or anything. I mean, I have the timer running in the background. Mm-hmm. But I just looked. So I was like, oh my God, have we gone over the time? Have we gone under it? And I was really worried about it. And we've actually made it in perfect time.
Yes, so we have.
That's beautiful. We made it in perfect time. I love you very much.
And
without further ado, good night. And sleep tight.